Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to this week's edition of Joy's very own show about pets. This is Pets Aloud. Thank you once again to Leo for delivering another fabulous morning of tune and to Mike for our news. It is your last day to sign up as part of Radiothon to go in the draw to win a Suzuki Swift. So come on, join up during Pets Aloud. You've got until 6 p.m. tonight to be able to get into that draw. It is worth over $21,000. Come on, guys.
Do it. Who doesn't want to be in a new Suzuki?
You can either call 1-300-JOY-949 or email. Why would you email us? Or you can go online at joy.org.au. You can email if you want to talk to us on air at joy.org.au.
Oh, yes, please do.
We do want to hear from you.
The Lost Dogs Home has close to 300 staff across 6 shelters in 3 states, and their passion to providing care to lost, sick and injured cats and dogs, and their dedication to improving animal welfare can be seen in the incredible work they do in and outside of our shelters.
It's so true. I mean, we have a staff that have travelled overseas just in their general travels, but we'll drop into shelters. We know Kate, when she was in the States, had a look at a few shelters.
She did. They went all over. Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
Assistant Shelter Manager Jody, also the same.
That's right.
Nicole from Planet Canine has checked in with Street Dog Care in Nepal. Yeah. So everyone that, you know, works at, and you, Oz, yourself, when you went over to Turkey.
Yeah. Actually, after I found out that I got employed, I had already booked this holiday, so I still went along, thank you, to the home. And I had the pleasure of meeting some really great people that are doing some incredible things who we'll check in with in the weeks to come.
Now, one of those incredible people who's doing incredible things is actually joining us in the studio today. It is Dr. Caroline Cook. She's one of our vets here at the Lost Dogs Home has recently come back from travelling around Australia, as well as you've been to Guatemala recently. Is that right? Or past couple of years?
I wouldn't classify it as recently. It's a few years ago now. But, I've done some volunteer work, working as a vet in a number of exotic locations. So in India, in Guatemala, and more recently, my visit to the Top End was pretty awesome and pretty eye-opening. So I look forward to talking to you guys about that soon.
So we are going to talk about that a bit later today.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Aloud or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsaloud to subscribe to our free podcast.
Also coming up on Pets Aloud today, are you one of those people that cannot stop bragging about your dog, how clever he is or she is?
Yes, I am.
around the water cooler, let me finish the sentence.
Oh, sorry, we don't have one.
Is it around the water cooler or just in
general? Do we have a water cooler?
Over the surgery table.
So a lot of people do share their love for their pets at work, and today is your day to shine, basically. It's the International Take Your Dog to Work Day, and we'll be crossing over to the Lost Dogs Home Shelter live to have a chat with Kate, who's sadly not joining us in the studio today, but we'll be checking it out with her and seeing what the home's doing for the day.
But we do want to hear from you as well, so let us know if your dog is spending the day at work with you. Tell us all about it.
Pets Aloud, have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
So we do want to hear from you, Cameron, because I know that Maxine's at work today, so we want to hear what she's up to. Don't forget, you can also SMS 0427-JOY-949 or give us a call 1-300-JOY-949. Stick around, we're going to hear from Blur with Girls and Boys, and then we'll have the Lost Dogs Home news wrap. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is time to recap the news and events of last week. Now, the winter solstice is happening today, I believe it is, the shortest day and longest night. And the Lost Dogs Home is expecting this winter to receive almost 6,500 cold, terrified and lost cats and dogs over the next few months. As we mentioned in the program last week, winter is a time when staff and resources at the home are stretched to their absolute limits as a result of lower and slower reclaims of pets and a decrease in adoptions due to the cold and wet weather.
With tonight being the longest night of the year, we asked you to stop and think about the many dogs and cats that will come into our care. A lack of responsible pet ownership, changes in living arrangements and financial difficulties are all contributing factors to the abandonment of pets during winter.
Welcomed with open arms in the summer, adolescent dogs are among the most common surrendered by winter, as their owners generally underestimate the commitment involved with raising a puppy. But thanks to the home's generous donors, underfloor heating, beds, blankets and coats all help keep our dogs protected from the cold and rain, while vaccinations protect them from illness and disease.
Now, our cats are kept snug indoors with their individual pods, each with their own ventilation, to help prevent cat flu.
And sick, injured and elderly animals are kept indoors in our fantastic Stan and Helen Moore Sick and Injured facility to prevent exposure to the cold and aggravation of diseases such as arthritis, heart disease and chronic conditions of old age and neglect.
Now, to find out more about helping the home or even if you're thinking about adopting, check out our website, which is dogshome.com. We've got plenty of cats, kittens, puppies, dogs at all shelters across the, you know, the eastern seaboard except for Tasmania.
That's
who are
right.
looking for new homes.
And last week we had Ella, our pet of the week. She was adopted on the weekend. And we have another dog we've talked about called Cindy, who was a dog with a fractured femur. She was adopted yesterday, and you can see her story on our Facebook page or on the website.
Hopefully going up this weekend. If not, it'll be early next week.
That's right. And there will be a happy tale as well, I believe, for Cindy. So all good for Cindy.
Now, speaking of adoption, it is time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
It is time for our Pet of the Week, and since we've got our very special guest, Caroline Cook, in here, Caroline, why don't you introduce us to our Pet of the Week this week?
Well, our pet of the week is Sarabi. Sarabi is a cat. She is a domestic medium hair cross. I'm looking at a picture of her right here. She's got lovely grey hair with a bit of a white bib and little white cheeks. So she's D6, like all of our animals. She's 3 years old and 4 months. And like all of our animals, she's been health checked, vaccinated, wormed and microchipped.
Now, Sarabi is a beautiful little girl, but she has a bit of a thing for the sun, so she needs to be an indoor cat, but she really likes lazing about in the sun when she's in her pen at the moment. So she's got a bit of a light nose. Is that going to be an issue?
It is, because although she's got little black marks on her nose as well, she definitely has a little pink nose with no pigmentation, which means she's very susceptible to damage from the sun.
Now, if people want to find out a bit more about Sarabi, what's her animal ID number?
Her number is 932113.
Thank you so much for that. We will remind you of that later, and she will be posted on our Facebook page as well as Twitter. So that is the Lost Dogs Home. But you can check out our program page at joy.org.au to find all that out. Now, if you did miss Sarabi, don't worry. We will talk a bit about her again later and remind you of her animal ID number. It is time for Electric Feel by MG. And after this, we're going to be talking to Kate to find out what's going on down at the home. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Feel you're on Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, dog lovers from all over the world will be sharing their desk with their best friends today for International Take Your Dog to Work Day. We have been asking if you have taken your dog into work, and we've heard from Cameron, who says, "Afternoon, Pets Aloud crew. Max, our old English sheepdog child of non-human birth, came to work today. Of course, she does come to work every day, and everyone at work loves her. Right now, though, he's in the car, just dropped her off to the hairdressers. So Max has to look her best at work, you know." He said, "To keep up the good work," from Cam and Max. We also heard from Ben, who is a stay-at-home parent, so his pets are always with him at work. Have you not heard parent before?
No, I haven't.
It's pawsome.
Yeah, that is pawsome. Thank you.
At the Lost Dogs Home, we're really fortunate to care for some amazing dogs and cats every day.
Now, joining us on the phone from the shelter's Dog Adoption Centre is our very own Kate Holter. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kev. Hi, Oz.
Alan's here, and so is Caroline.
Yes. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate. Now, Kate, as you know, we're all away from the office today, for most of today, and we'll be missing out on what the home's going to be doing with Take Your Dog to Work Day. Can you give us an update on what's happening there?
As you can probably hear, I'm in the adoption area. We have staff coming down. Some of them work in offices. Some of us are fortunate to work hands-on with the dogs. And everyone's sort of taking some time out today to come down to the dog adoption area and either walk a dog if they want to, or just, you know, say hello, put some fingers through the cages and give them a bit of a pat. So that's what we're doing, because we work with dogs every day, really, at the home.
Kate, what are the advantages of having dogs in the workplace?
I don't know about you, but I don't always like saying goodbye to my dogs in the morning. If I could take them with me every day, that'd be great. That's if they were well behaved and they would sit quietly all day, which they probably wouldn't. But, you know, we love the company of our dogs. So to be able to work with them, it would be wonderful. And I think it's also, you know, relaxes you, and it's just a nice kind of companionship and presence to have in the office.
Yeah. So Take Your Dog to Work Day was launched over a decade ago to promote adoptions, actually. So while you're in the adoptions area, could you introduce us to one of the adoption candidates?
Okay, let me see. We've got Cracker here. I don't know if you've met Cracker. He's a really big wolfhound, greyhound cross.
How could you miss him?
He's divine. Yes. He's enjoying a scratch under the chin here while I talk to him. He's actually been given quite a big area today because he's a big dog and needs a lot of space to exercise. But he's here and he'd make a great pet. He's a beautiful dog. And I can see some other people who have got some dogs out that they're considering adopting, and they're meeting them and introducing them to their dog.
What is his ID number, just if listeners are interested in finding out more?
Cracker is 942053.
So you can check him out on our website.
Yeah, and he's 1 year old and he is a male. And he's a beautiful black wolfhound cross.
Thank you so much, Kate. It has been great to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Say hello to all the dogs for us. Give them a bit of a pat.
I will, and I have been.
Thanks so much, Kate. See you later.
See you later.
Yeah, bye.
Now, the welfare and safety of your dog and co-workers is paramount. So if you want to find out more about how to have a responsible dog in your workplace, check out our article on dogshome.com. Now, we are going to hear from Steps with Last Thing on My Mind before we jump into our chat with Caroline for the rest of the show, pretty much.
Yeah, can't wait.
This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
G'day, this is Mike Larkin, Weather Guy, Channel 10. Best thing about being the weather presenter, you can be wrong and still get paid. But more importantly, we love listening to Pets Aloud every Fridays from noon.
Miss your favourite segment on Pets Aloud or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsaloud to subscribe to our free podcast.
This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Is Kevin, Oz, Alan and Caroline in the studio today. I was going to say Kate, but then I remember she wasn't here. It is Radiothon still. Today is your last day to sign up to go in the draw to win a Suzuki Swift. It is a great prize. So give us a call, 1300-JOY-949, or head online to joy.org.au and sign up as a member.
Now, at the Lost Dogs Home, we have close to 300 staff across 6 shelters in 3 states, and their passion to improving animal welfare can be seen in the incredible work they do in and outside of our shelters. Joining us in the studio, as we've said, is Dr. Caroline Cook, who I've worked with for years, and she's just come back from the Top End where she did some volunteering.
Caroline, I suppose let's start from the start, really. You graduated from vet school in 2003 and worked for mixed practices in the country for about 2 years. Then you worked at a private practice around Melbourne, all before you started at the home in 2006. Why did you want to work for a shelter?
Well, working for a shelter means that you're working to benefit animals that often have no owner and nobody looking out for them. Mm. I mean, some come in neglected and abused. Others have been in motor vehicle accidents and are in need of, you know, serious medical attention. And others still just need, you know, a really good feed and some attention, you know, be it a new haircut or or a cuddle. And so the reward in the job is really in doing something to help these animals that are experiencing such hardships.
Yeah.
So what would you think is the one thing that you love most about your job?
Look, I really do love when I'm consulting and an animal that we've adopted out comes back in for its 1 month follow-up vaccination. Mm. It's such a lovely thing to see this animal who, yeah, you might, you know, remember from when it first came in and it was a bit overwhelmed and stressed out by all the sights and sounds of the home. And then to see it when it comes back in with a new family and much more confident and relaxed, and you know, the animal's just come out of itself. It's you know, it's got found a lovely, happy, loving home, and it's just a beautiful thing to witness.
Now, all jobs have their challenges. So what do you think on the flip side? What are some of the challenges of being a vet?
Yeah, there are many challenges of working in a shelter, as you can imagine. But look, I guess one of the hardest things is being witness to the neglect and cruelty cases. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, this, it doesn't happen every time that people are deliberately cruel. And that's, you know, not what we see all the time. But, you know, day in, day out, we do see, you know, little signs of neglect that you know, really do make your heart weep. Like mm-hmm. dogs that, you know, especially those little white fluffy dogs that, you know, come in all the time to the home, and they've, you know, if they've never been groomed properly, they get matted hair. You know, some of them can't see, you know, anything at all out of there, so they're walking around mm-hmm. blind. And others have, as a result of this this hair becoming matted and moisture being trapped, they get these painful oozing skin infections. And, you know, it's just heartbreaking.
Mm, it is. You've not only worked as a vet here in Melbourne, you've participated in a dissexing program in Guatemala, I think it was, and spent some time with regional communities in northeast India, and recently 2 weeks in Arnhem Land. What took you to the top end?
Well, Alan, I was really fortunate enough to have last year off, adventure travelling around Australia in a four-wheel drive. It was awesome.
Except when you joined Reggie on the Queensland tour.
Oh, that's true. I did do a little bit of work here and there. But another highlight was actually going up and visiting one of my close friends with whom I went through vet school, Dr. Emma Kennedy. And she lives in Arnhem Land and works there providing veterinary services to remote Aboriginal communities. And by remote, I don't think I realised how remote it actually is up there. And, you know, some of the only ways you can access these communities is flying in by light plane, because there is no road access for half the year during the wet season.
Now, for the benefit of our listener who might not have been there, can you just tell us, what was your first impressions of Arnhem Land? What was it like?
Well, I'll never forget the first day driving in, because it's a hell of a drive. We'd heard stories that it was a really difficult and dangerous road to travel on. It was 700 kilometres of really rough dirt road, and there were numerous rivers that we had to cross that we knew there may have been crocs in, so we had, you know, had to be very careful there. And you know, there were even just herds of wild buffalo roaming around.
Oh, wow.
That we'd been told to be careful of, because if you get out of the car, they can come charging at you, and people have actually died by such a means, believe it or not.
Were you camping, or
because my friend Dr. Emma Kennedy told us to not camp. It's too dangerous. You have to drive, you know, in one journey in, which is turned out to be a 14-hour drive. We started at 4:30 in the morning, and we had two flat tires, and you know, that took a number of those hours up. And yeah, we were driving the last 200 kilometres in the dark with no spare tyre, so it was really quite a challenge. And I'll never forget Arnhem Land and its inaccessibility.
How do you get a new tyre up there?
Take a few spares, possibly.
We carried two spares with us, mm-hmm. which we thought would be adequate, but when we blew the second one, we were really, you know, freaking out.
So what happened?
We just had to keep driving. And I mean, you know, we'd heard all these stories about what you can do in that situation. Like, you can stuff the tyre that's ruined with all your clothes and then just try and drive on it that way. But fortunately, it didn't come to that.
On Mythbusters last night, they looked at putting fire in the middle mm-hmm. and that would sort of inflame, mm-hmm. you know, and add oxygen. But it's not the safest way.
If you have those types of tyres, but we had a different type of tyre that wouldn't work with.
Now, we will be continuing this all throughout the rest of the program today.
Yes.
But so right now, we're going to listen to Yolanda Be Cool and Garamul with Abaru in New York, which is an Indigenous artist. Garamul is actually blind, and hasn't learned, never learned Braille, doesn't have a guide dog, doesn't use a white cane or anything like that, but he's a brilliant artist who, yeah, is an Indigenous artist. So we thought, you know, it'd be fitting for the show today because we are talking about Arnhem Land. Now, Caroline is going to be giving us a bit of an insight into her time in Arnhem Land and also her work with Dr. Emma Kennedy from the East Arnhem Land Shire Council. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. On Pets Allowed today, we're taking a virtual tour of the Top End with Dr. Caroline Cook, one of our very fine vets at the Lost Dogs Home.
Caroline, you, as before you mentioned, you're up at East Arnhem Land Shire Council, working for 2 weeks, I believe, volunteering for 2 weeks with the Animal Welfare Program. Given the Shire is, I think it's roughly about half the size of Tasmania, what was the typical day at work like with working in such a massive area?
Yeah, it's really mind-boggling. The program covers about 33,000 square kilometres, and some of the locations are so remote and so expensive to get to that, you know, by chartering a light plane to go in there, you have to make the time worthwhile. So we usually spend, you know, 3 to 5 days in each community, or Dr. Emma Kennedy does. Look, some of the flights, like in a light plane, might take over an hour to get to give you an idea of travel time. And in the light plane, it takes time to get all the equipment in, including drugs, the anaesthetic machine and the oxygen cylinder, which is, you know, can be quite dangerous to fly in a light plane with an oxygen cylinder. So there's protocols that need to be followed there. When we arrive at a location, we were setting up in something like the old council portable or a shed or something like that to do surgery. I've actually got pictures of some of the surgeries that I was helping with, where the surgery table is actually an old door that's been resting on two wheelie bins to become our surgery table. Because as you can imagine, funding is really limited, and you can't afford to really have a stainless steel surgery table in each of those locations.
So no pedals to make it go up and down.
No hydraulics.
So why was the program set up?
The Animal Welfare Program was set up to improve the health and well-being of both companion animals and the remote Indigenous communities they live in. And this is through the provision of veterinary services and through community education. One of the big reasons it was set up was because of the dog overpopulation problem up there. With dogs roaming freely, this really impacts on community safety. People get attacked by dogs, especially the dogs are hungry and they become, you know, in a pack sort of mentality. And, many people have been injured in that way, walking home from school, walking, you know, to work, or just walking around the community. It really makes you have to be aware of what's going on around you with such large numbers of dogs roaming.
Actually, diseases up there would be different from down here, wouldn't they? Medicine would be really different.
Yeah, I mean, they get a lot of scabies, which is a skin disease in dogs where they tend to lose all their fur and get a coat or a hide, almost like an elephant hide skin, because it's so so inflamed and they've, you know, scratched themselves to bits. That's been a real benefit of the program, turning these dogs that, you know, have no fur and have this horrible scabby skin back into dogs that have a full coat of hair.
Now, you're on Joy 94.9. We're currently picking the brain of Dr. Caroline Cook, a well-travelled and learned vet at the Lost Dogs Home, about her time volunteering for the Animal Welfare Program in East Arnhem Land. If you have a question for Caroline, you can SMS us 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, what are some of the other animal welfare issues actually in the Shire?
Well, as you can imagine, the general picture of animal health up there is in these communities is below what you would see in, say, Melbourne. You see these dogs with these mange problems, with massive flea and tick burdens, malnourished dogs, very emaciated. A lot of them have intestinal worms. And they also have a lot of a disease that's a sexually transmitted tumour disease, where you can often see tumours hanging off their back end and, you know, it's quite unsightly and they can be bleeding from those. And, you know, it's quite full on to witness that. But yeah, various injuries through physical violence, and you know, a lot of these dogs go through quite a bit living in the communities.
So this program that you're involved with has been running for quite some time now. What do they do exactly to promote health and well-being in companion animals?
Well, they do. Emma Kennedy does regular vet visits and desexing clinics, and having the same vet do that is really important, because in the past, vets have come and done massive culling of animals for welfare reasons, but not you know, discussing or communicating with the community that they were going to do this, and with no consultation. And so, as you can imagine, there's gross mistrust of vets coming into communities. And Emma's been there for 3 years now, and she's been working tirelessly, flying into all these communities regularly and building up this rapport. And more importantly as well, using local people or the local community members to go around with her, speaking in language so that they know that they're getting the right information and they have the permission from the right person to do that or administer that veterinary treatment.
So they're the animal indigenous animal management workers.
Yeah, yeah. So the program actually employs 10 animal management workers, so indigenous people, and they're being trained in, you know, conducting surgical or doing surgeries with Emma, and they're able to do all the preparations and get the animals ready for surgery, and you know, it all flows quite smoothly now. But you know, it's been a whole process of getting that training happening as well, yeah, it's a great way to get community based or community supported involvement.
Yeah.
This is Joy 94.9. You are listening to Pets Aloud. We will continue chatting to Carolyn right after this.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
We are joined in the studio today by Dr. Caroline Cook, a vet at the Lost Dogs Home who recently spent some time up in Arnhem Land volunteering for the animal welfare program up there.
So, Caroline, what are the challenges faced by the program?
I mean, obviously, working in the remote top-end communities, they've had little or no access to veterinary services in the past. As I discussed, what little contact they did have was in the form of a vet coming in and culling their animals. So this short-term fix was really not very successful, and has made community members to the point that they would hide their dogs in their home when the vet came and refused to allow any treatments.
Not surprising, really, is it?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really disrespectful.
And so, I suppose the dog dreaming possibly comes into here as well, in terms of the connection, the community members' connections to dogs. I'm sort of skipping ahead here, but we can talk about that later. But in terms of the milestones and achievements of the program, what have they been?
Yeah, look, Emma's brought these really remote communities to the point of having about 75% to 95%, depending on the community, of their dogs desexed. So in the past 2 years, they've also seen a great reduction in the number of dogs breeding, obviously, and therefore the sick puppies they used to get, and sick dogs as well. So this whole all of these things taken in, together has improved community safety. You know, you're getting fewer dogs that are, you know, rushing at people and, you know, after food, because with fewer dogs in the community, they tend to be better fed, they tend to be happier and healthier, so they're not as likely to attack.
And I suppose it's like vaccinations. Any time you reduce the incidence of a disease in a community, it kind of keeps reducing and reducing naturally after that. So doing that initial work makes such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the transmission of diseases from animals to humans, which is quite prevalent in these communities, like I'm thinking of things like scabies, which, you know, is an itchy skin disease that a lot of communities have that, you know, problem in their households, there's been a human benefit from controlling the dog population.
Yeah, I mean, and that's great over this 3 year period of time.
Yeah, which is such a short,
huge, huge developments there, definitely.
Now, Caroline, we did ask if anyone had any questions. We have heard from Betty, who is one of our regular listeners. Now, Betty actually worked and lived up in Arnhem Land in the Coburg Peninsula. She wanted to know about wild animals. Did you treat many wild animals while you were there?
Look, I didn't have the opportunity to treat any wild animals, but I did see a lot of wild animals. I mean, it's teeming with wildlife. Arnhem Land, it's a beautiful area of the world and so unspoilt and untouched. And I feel privileged to have had the opportunity to go there because, you know, not many people do. It's permit land. So, I think I saw wild buffaloes, wild brumbies.
Crocodiles.
I didn't see a crocodile. I did sense one. we saw wild dingoes crossing the road Incredible. On that first day driving in. There's magnificent wildlife up there. There's even, believe it or not, rainforests in Arnhem Land. You don't sort of imagine it to be, you know, tropical rainforest, but the animals that live in there are unique to that region as well. You don't find them down here in the south.
Incredible. And on a personal level, what have you taken away personally and professionally from the experience?
Yeah, look, I think it was an amazing experience, and just to see the challenges that the program has faced, and to realise that the importance that the cultural sensitivity and good communication plays in overcoming these historical mistrust of vets and their work. Most East Arnhem Shire community dogs are seen as sacred. They're part of Dreamtime stories. And so they're actually really, integrated into life up there, and they're actually people's relatives. There's a kinship grouping system that's really complicated, and so an animal could be, or a dog could be, somebody's brother according to this kinship system. So it's so immeasurably important that we seek approval, or that approval is gained from the right owner of the animal, and considering those connections, that treatment comes secondary in some instances to getting that right approval. And I guess the patience that Emma has shown to not push those boundaries and not make it our sort of white fella timeline that things have to be done right here, right now. Mm-hmm. We have to really, do these things slowly and get community buy-in so that everybody's happy with the outcomes and feels that they had a say.
Caroline, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today and hearing a bit about your time up in the northern part of Australia. We will no doubt chat again. But in terms of whether listeners are interested in finding out a bit more information or, getting in contact with the Shire, what would you suggest?
Yeah, look, the resources are always stretched, as you can tell by, the fact that there's no proper surgery tables and equipment in all the different communities that need them. But they always need experienced vets and nurses. And even if that is a vet and nurse pair, that would be ideal, so they can work independently from Emma and have another surgery table going and contribute that way. Emma's able to take donations as well, but these are not tax deductible. So if you've got interested in any way, if you're a vet or a nurse who wants an amazing experience in a magic land, then contact Emma Kennedy directly on emma.kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, at eastarnhem.nt.gov.au, or you can find more information by visiting the East Arnhem Land Shire Council website at eastarnhem.nt.gov.au.
Thank you so much for that, Caroline. We will put the details up on our Joy profile page as well as the Lost Dogs Home page as well. We might put some information. It has been a pleasure. We'll chuck the podcast up as well, so people, if you missed something or if you want to listen back to it again, you can listen to that. It has been a pleasure having you in the studio today.
You're going to stick around with us until the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Yep. Coming up next, Dog Dates. This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Sponsor. This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
This has been Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is 4 minutes to one, which means we're about to finish up, but it is time for dog dates. Now, although temperatures around the state have dropped significantly, this weekend is looking spectacular. Saturday and Sunday both forecast to be sunny, with just a little bit of light wind. So we urge you to get out the lead, whack on your runners, and make the most of the rain-free weekend and get outdoors with your pooches.
That is perfect dog walking weather. If you live in the west or fancy getting away from the crowds of the city, try the Williamstown Beach to Altona Beach Foreshore Trail, which is part of the 23-kilometre Hobson's Bay Coastal Trail. The Foreshore Trail is a fantastic stretch of about 8 kilometres, which goes from the end of Williamstown Beach, with easy parking at the car park beside Gloucester Reserve, which is Melway's 55K11, all the way through to Altona Beach, which is dog-friendly and off-lead.
Now, you may be looking at walking around a different area, so Brunswick.
Another very long trail, actually. This is 21 k's long. It's the Merri Creek Trail. The path joins the Western Ring Road Trail in the north, and in the south meets the Yarra River Trail and Capital City Trail. The great thing about this trail is that it goes past a lot of really cool places, one being the Ceres Farmstead, a city-based farmstead with a whole range of... They've got a whole range of programs, a lot of activities. They've got a cafe there, a place where you can get your fruit and veg.
Great chai tea.
Great chai tea. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, try that out. And then maybe have some lunch. It's pet friendly. You can take your dogs along.
You can stop and build a bike.
You can stop and build a bike. That's right.
Yeah,
actually,
the bike
Caroline
shed.
Was mentioning
yeah.
that. So you can build it from scratch if you'd like. Make yep. a monocycle or...
Yeah, or use parts from existing bikes that are there to put onto your own to keep it going.
Yeah, it sounds like a good day of activities to
so
be
to
had
there. So find out more about that.
You can check out ceres.org.au and don't forget to clean up after your dog. Take a bag with you, please.
Definitely. Now, if you have any dog dates or if you just want to ask a question or maybe a question for Dr. Alan Bolton, don't forget to email us lostdogshome@joy.org.au. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Caroline, as well as everyone for listening.
It's a pleasure.
And if you can just remind us of our pet of the week, which was Sarabi. What's her animal ID number?
932113.
Thank you very much for that. If you missed out our show today, don't forget we do podcast at joy.org.au/petsallowed. This has been Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to walk your dogs
and pat your cats.
Missed your favourite segment on Pets Allowed or want to hear an interview again? Head to joy.org.au/petsallowed to subscribe to our free podcast.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.